Welcome to the Hairdryer Treatment Podcast, powered by Kevin Grogan Soccer, Soccer Coffee, and much more. Welcome to the show this week. It's been an interesting week with lots happening in world soccer. We're delighted to have Julio Frank Tasso with us later on in the show. He's a former Monaco Academy player, originally born in Cameroon. It's a really interesting interview. But just for now, to talk about some of the hot topics. I mean, obviously Manchester United have been doing fantastically well since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer took over, and the debate now is, should he get the job permanently? People said the original games he had weren't really a test. I'd probably argue that point. I mean, every single game in the Premiership is a test, but obviously then the big one was Tottenham last week. I felt he got his tactics absolutely spot on in the first half. Second half, I thought Spurs were quality, and only for some fantastic goalkeeping, it could have been a different story. But overall, I think he's done a really, really good job. The players seem to be playing with a lot of freedom and happy to express themselves. The work ethic is there, and it's more along the lines of the Manchester United way that was created with Sir Matt Busby and then managers over the years. And then obviously Manchester United had such success under Sir Alex Ferguson, but again did it the Manchester United way. So interesting time there, and interesting to see what will happen, whether he'll get the job full time or they'll give it to Pochettino. I think both options are very, very good. Obviously the other big story, well, many stories, but the other one is that interests me is the Spygate story. Very interesting, very funny. Obviously, the Leeds manager has gone and watched some training sessions of other teams, in particular Derby. Derby aren't happy with that. You know, my stance is that they haven't broken any rules officially. You're allowed to go and watch. I think morally it's probably wrong if you're going to go to a training ground of another club where they should have privacy. There may be something wrong with that. If you're playing an away game and you know you're training in their stadium and the opposition come and watch that, that's probably you know, less morally wrong. But I think I'd probably sit in the fence with it, to be honest. I think it's you know, fair play to him for doing it in some ways, and it's interesting. He hasn't broken the rules though, so I don't think he can get punished for that. But it's an interesting saga to follow. So after the break, we're delighted, as I said, to have Julio Frank Tasso come in.
We may be the chihuahua.
You are an ostrich.
Eggs. Dilly din, dilly dong, come on.
But I want to be clear that I don't want to play mind games.
But I think it was an angry man. I think he was disturbed for some reason or other.
Honestly, I will love it if we beat them.
Delighted to have Julio Frank Tasso with us here today, a former Monaco Academy player, originally from Cameroon. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule, Julio. First, start talking about your time in Monaco as a player.
Okay, as a player, I was. I remember going to France when I was about 10, and I remember my dad has just passed, and you know, going to France obviously it was a big relief for my family and everyone. Like, you know, everywhere else, you know, people see this as, this is not good as a kid going abroad. But for us, it was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. You know, so that's how I went to France. And
so obviously you grew up in Cameroon, and you're kind of touching on there, it was an opportunity to go to France, was an opportunity maybe of a better life or a way of maybe being successful to help your family back home. Is that what you mean?
Definitely. It was like a relief for the family. You know,
and so, obviously, you know, very sad that your dad passed away at such a young age. So in many ways, you were the eldest in your family. So you were kind of expected to go away and be successful. And then you got to a Monaco, obviously you had a lot of talent, hence why you went there. What was the standard like there in terms of the players and the coaching?
It was nowhere near what I was expecting, because going to France was like, you know, when you get there, like you think it's just soccer. No, it was more than just soccer. You know, you have to deal with, like, it's like they kind of expect you to be ready. Like, it's not like just an academy. You know, they expect you to know certain stuff. They expect you to do certain stuff, you know, in different ways, like not the traditional way that I was used to in Cameroon, where it was just like street soccer, where you just go in and you just play, you know. And, you know, I got my first glove when I was in Monaco.
Yeah, so you're kind of saying when you went there, you know, similar probably to myself, when I went to England, you go into a very cutthroat adult world, even though you're young, and you're expected to act and conduct yourself in a certain way, and there's obviously more responsibility on you. So I've heard you talk about this before in terms of the gloves. So when you went to the academy, obviously they give you all the kit, but back in Cameroon growing up, you didn't have that kind of things. You didn't have the kit. What would you use for gloves, or would it be bare hands, or how did that work?
Yeah, Kev, it was just a different type of soccer. Like I grew up playing with flip-flops. Like, I use flip-flops as glove. And I used to say that to people, and they thought it was funny. But, you know, it was just my livelihood. Like, I grew up using flip-flops because when you grow up in Cameroon, coming from a poor family, first of all, you can't, they don't even allow you to have shoes. And when you do have shoes, it's like you have to wear them when you're going to school or something. So, like, having my first glove was like, oh my God. Like,
so that's an amazing story. So you use flip-flops as gloves, and you know, the world we live in now, obviously you're a coach here in America, a very talented goalkeeper coach, but a lot of the kids nearly have too much equipment. They're giving it too quick and too early. So I'm sure that's a great story to tell the kids and how fortunate they are over here to have everything given to them, correct?
I always make sure I do so, Kev. I always make sure I let parents know and kids know. Listen, you shouldn't take all this for granted, because growing up, like, my parents couldn't even afford to have, you know, couldn't even think about buying gloves, because that was, you know, they were thinking how to make me have food, you know, so they were not busy thinking about glove. We didn't know what glove was until I got to France.
So, you know, I've got to know you well, Frankie, over the last 5 or 6 years. You played for me, and now you've coached with me. One thing I noticed about you is you're a very hard worker. You've got great work ethic. Does that stem from your upbringing and your background?
Yes. When my dad was alive, he used to tell my mom that we're too spoiled. And listening to that, I was like, really? Like, I thought I was living in hell. And my dad used to tell my mom, we're too spoiled. It's like, one day, if God forbid he's not alive anymore, we would struggle. And I used to think he was just too hard on us. Then I realized, I know, he was actually doing us a favor. So when I went to France, you know, it was, my life was kind of easy when I got there, actually.
Yeah.
Although some kids were struggling.
In many ways, he was preparing you for the real world. And obviously, you know, we've told me before, he was obviously out working hard to put food on the table. It's really interesting. So you're obviously, you know, came over here. Your first club you played for, I believe, was the Willington Hammerheads. How did you find that experience and the different culture of America, obviously, from playing in France?
It was way different. It was just the mentality, like, it was, you know, coming to America. First of all, it's like a dream. Like, you come here, it's like, okay, I'm going where the party is, and, you know, I'm going to act professional. Also, America is America. So I came with a different mindset. And, you know, when you come from France, you think America is easy, American soccer. You're just going to come there, and they're going to just give you champagne and everything. But you come here, it's a different story. You have, like, good players. And I was surprised that, you know, I was...
People underestimate the talent over here.
Yes, in America. Yes, in when you're coming from overseas.
I always find in America, since I've been here, you know, the standards are high in terms of the work ethic and the facilities. And they try and be as very, very professional. And that obviously helps them develop and produce players. Now, there are other problems that kind of inhibit them to do that. But did you find the facilities and the intensity of training was good when you came?
Yes, I think it was very good. And by the way, Kev, I have to tell you something funny. Like, France is a place where people play soccer. But in America, they have all the facility. And I used to be shocked that I'll work on the... In the neighborhood, I would see a good soccer field, and no one would use it. I used to be shocked. I'm like, what's going on here? And I realized that it wasn't just, you know, it was just the way it was. Like, here, everything is, like, really organized. To use the field, you need a permit, you need certain stuff, which is in Europe, like, you will tell a kid you need a permit to play on the field, or in Africa, they'll look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, it's a different culture, obviously. But that kind of stems as well from that kind of street soccer element that we would have grown up. And I've talked to before on the podcast, you know, growing up in Ireland, we played on the street every day. Growing up where you did, in Cameroon, and then obviously being in France, it's a different culture. People just go onto the field, onto the green, onto the road, and just play. Here, which is a negative, actually. It's just too organised. So that lack of street soccer, you need a permit. You need a coach. You need someone supervising. And that kind of takes away from that. So you were obviously at the Hammerheads and you did well, and then you came into the MPSL and played for me with the Eagles, which we had a very good team at the time and played a good brand of soccer. Was that an enjoyable period for you?
It was really enjoyable, Kev, because I have to tell you one thing. You know, with the Hammerhead, it didn't last long, obviously, because of my injury and a lot of, you know, little stuff that happened behind the scene, which forced me to leave North Carolina, obviously. And I was lucky enough, you know, to meet you at the time, because it was at the time of my life where I needed someone to help me, you know, due to my injury. And, you know, and as a young athlete that doesn't know how the system works, first you have to remember that language was a big factor for me. So knowing that and being injured, it was like, just crazy, Kev.
Yeah, I remember when you came and you were struggling a bit with injuries, but we obviously could recognise like you had serious talent, and it took a while to get over the injuries and start playing. But I think at the time we did talk about looking at a future beyond playing, and it was probably back then when you started on the ladder of trying to be a coach as well. And you've become an excellent coach now, and obviously, you know, the kids love you and all that. Was that something at the time when we first talked about that? Was that something you really wanted to do, or mentally were you still in the frame of mind, well, I'm a soccer player first and foremost?
It was really hard, Kev, and it was even, I wouldn't say depressed, but I don't know what depression is, to be honest, but I felt like I was close to depression, because as a young athlete, being injured and being in the country where you don't really speak the language and you have to live, you have to put, you know, you have to make sure that you're not homeless, you know, stuff like that. It was really hard, Kev.
It's tough, yeah. I mean, you come to a big country like America, and then you're kind of, and I've been through it myself, where I touched on it a couple of weeks ago, you know, all your life you're a soccer player, and that's what people look at you as. And then there is a transition there, whether you had to retire because of age, or whether you have to retire because of injury, or whether it's just not realistic to make that next level. There is a transition there, and a lot of people find it hard, and I found it very hard as well from a mental standpoint. And then obviously, as you touched on there, a very valid point in America, you have to live, you have to eat, you have to pay rent, so you have to earn money. It's a great country, but you have to earn money. So I understand that transition, you know, was hard, but it didn't take you too long. You started getting into the groove then of coaching, and you know, you're up in Clarkstown, the head goalkeeper coach, and you're now in many other clubs. Do you get a lot of satisfaction educating the younger kids and giving them an insight into your history and your past and helping the next generation?
To be honest, Kev, that's my favorite part. I didn't know like the transition from being a player to a coach would be, you know, enjoyable. I always thought it was like it was going to be hell, but so far I'm loving it. I even got some offer to try to go and play overseas, but I turned them down just because I was like, what is that going to be like, going back and, you know, trying to bounce back as a soccer player? And I was just having fun. I'm just having fun doing like coaching. So I feel like I'm seeing myself as like a proper coach in the future, not as a soccer player. Like, I'm,
yeah,
kinda...
And obviously, you know, you're a fantastic role model to the kids in terms of work ethic and demonstrating to them, which you can still do, which I always think is a big part of coaching with kids, being able to get in and demonstrate. You had a stint then with me again in the New York Shamrocks, and you did absolutely brilliantly that year. Was that a good experience for you?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was terrific, Kev, I have to be honest. And I will say this, and I think the CSL is probably it's probably closer, because
that's, remember, the Cosmopolitan Soccer League.
Yeah, Cosmopolitan Soccer League. I was with the Hammerhead, and some of the teams, like, we play preseason, like, you know, like, you look at them, you're like, really? Like, it's just, I would say USL is better in terms of organization, where they have proper soccer field, they have, like, you know, TVs and all that, you know, in terms of organization. But I would say in terms of the soccer, I would say CSL is probably closer to.
Yeah, and just to remind the listeners, you know, the pyramid, you have your MLS, which is the top professional league, and then the USL under that, which the Hammerheads back then would have played. And you have your PDL and MPSLs, which are more summer-based. And then your CSL, which is the highest level of amateur soccer, which is what we're talking about. But I would agree with you that the quality of player in that is unbelievable in terms of players coming in and playing after their careers, professionals, or young players coming in and aspiring to be professionals and using it as a platform to do that. Obviously then with the Shamrocks, you know, we've talked about, you know, having seven teams and women's teams. It was a great scene there. It was a very positive energy and a lot of good people that you met that helped you in life.
Yeah, definitely, Kev. Definitely. And I would say this, I would come back, like, you know, without thinking, with the Shamrock, you know. And I always say that, you know. And, you know, I was glad enough to meet people like John, the president, and the John, because there's two Johns, the president,
yep,
and John Rodiorin that takes care of, you know, organization and stuff behind the scene, you know, and obviously you taking care of the soccer part of it, which is like really amazing for like an amateur club.
Yeah, know? A lot of good people, yeah, at the club working behind the scenes. And then kind of bring it up to now, you're kind of in multiple clubs coaching. You have your own academy coming, which is really exciting in terms of, you know, getting players in. You know, what's the best advice you can give a young player in America, whether they're an outfield player or a goalkeeper?
I always say this, try to play as much as possible. And the best way to learn is by trying to do it yourself. Because I feel like in America, they overcoach kids. You know, I always say to kids, go and do it yourself. As a coach, I tell them, go home and try to do it.
Yeah, it's just not good enough to train two or three times a week in an organised environment. You're saying go out, play with yourself, that kind of street soccer element, and practice. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Frankie, you've an amazing story, you know, from where you've come, and you've just touched on a few things there that's really, really interesting. And, you know, you've worked really hard. You deserve to be here and have all the work you have. And I know there's lots of big things in the future for you. So I'd love to get you back on the show sometime. So thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much, Casey. My pleasure.
So a great interview there with Julio Frank Tassa, and we're delighted next week to have Gary Pritchard with us. Gary is a team building coach and a sports psychologist. I've worked with him a lot. He's worked with a lot of organisations, including the Red Bulls. He's absolutely brilliant, particularly for youth soccer players in terms of, you know, how to deal with such different situations. And, you know, a big topic obviously is you know, putting too much pressure on kids and mental health in youth sport. And there's a lot of interesting things that he can talk about in relation to that. So delighted to have him on next week. See you then. Bye.
We may be the chihuahua.
You are an ostrich.
Eggs. Dilly din dilly dong. Come on.
I want to be clear that I don't want to play mind games.
But I think it was an angry man. I think he's disturbed for some reason or other.
Honestly, I will love it if we beat them.